From Buck Studio at Wisconsin Public Radio, this is Zorba Pastor on Your Health. Tom Clark here with Family Doc Zorba Pastor, here to talk with you about what's new in healthy living, share some down-to-earth advice, and some great lifestyle tips to help you get the most out of life. If you have a question for Zorba, here's our number, 800-462-7413. Along with your calls, of course, some topics, Zorba, tell us.
Yes, sleep deprivation, false confessions, are they linked together? Kind of interesting, very provocative research that was done. We'll talk about that, how sleep deprivation affects the memory and what you think you're thinking about.
It sounds interesting.
That's very interesting. And then we're going to talk about injury deaths as a proportion of the life expectancy gap between the U.S. and other countries. In other words, what's going on in America? We think about tetanus, we think about pertussis, we think about a whole bunch of things, but we don't think about injuries as much as we
should. That's true. And our recipe?
Yes, chipotle and sweet potato chowder. If you like chowder, you will like this recipe. It's a really, really good vegetarian recipe.
Okie doke, that's coming up. 800-462-7413, our number if you have a question for Zorba. And Zorba, our first caller is with us from Bayfield, Wisconsin. Hi.
Hello, Zorba. I had a question about the role of the thyroid and your gastrointestinal area because I have had thyroid problems, hypothyroid for years and years and years, and have gone to the doctor and the naturopath for help. And I just keep gaining weight around the middle, which could be part of being 72, but I work out anyway, and I swim, and I eat well. So I went to an endocrinologist, and she told me that there's cutting-edge research about the relationship between the thyroid and your, quote, gut. And I said, oh, good, what can I do? And she said, it's so new, I can't tell you.
It sounds like Mission Impossible if I tell you I have to kill you. it's so new, I can't tell you. That's really funny. Yeah. I like it. I like it a lot. So what's your concern? What are you concerned with? Your weight?
Yes, my weight. And, I mean, my middle bulge. Yeah. And that it's just not comfortable.
Right.
I don't
want
to buy new clothes.
Yeah. What's your height? What's your weight?
5'6", and I weigh about 160.
And then what did you weigh at high school when you graduated high school?
135.
You know, because studies have shown that when you approach that sort of high school weight, you're more likely to be healthy. We lose 1% of our muscle mass every year. So no matter what we do, even if you weighed the same weight that you did at high school, you'd still have a bulge. In other words, you wouldn't look the same. You'd be thinner than you are now. But because we don't have the muscle mass, we're not as taut. You know, we sag as we get older. As for new cutting edge on thyroid and the gut, I don't know if there's anything new. An old-fashioned way that old Dr. Dukeschein used to try to get people to lose weight is he would give them thyroid medication and make them hyperthyroid. This was very popular in the 50s, and give them digoxin. They'd give them a heart pill to try to get their heart to work better. It doesn't work. And a thyroid pill to make them hyperthyroid so that people, generally women, would lose weight. And it was dangerous and dangerous for your heart, and inevitably they didn't lose weight. They'd lose weight for a while and get it back. So if you're not hypothyroid, if you don't have low thyroid, that's not the issue. And the issue ultimately is calories in, exercise out. And the reality is as soon as we start eating fewer calories, our body becomes much better at sort of extracting calories from food and trying to get us to spend fewer calories because it was, you know, feast or famine years ago.
Now, Zorba, you don't know about this new thing. You're not telling her. You're not telling her.
I have to tell you, I have not been let into the inner circle of the endocrinologist to find out what this cutting-edge research is. I'm, you know, in the dark just like you are. That's not there.
She gave me the book, Fork Over Knives, or maybe it's Knives Over Fork. I can't remember. But anyway, it's plant-based. It's all plant-based food.
Well, I think on the whole, if you look from a calorie point of view, plant-based food tends to have fewer calories. And it's a very interesting best-selling book. You know, if you follow a vegetarian or a vegan-type diet, you might lose weight. A lot of people do. Vegetarians often.
We are vegetarians, and I do take because they zapped my thyroid when I was hyper, mm-hmm. and so then it became hypo, and I've taken the hyperthyroid drugs for years, and whenever he tells me after the test that he wants to lower it, I say, no, don't do that, because I'll gain weight.
Uh-huh. Well, you've got to be, when it comes to your thyroid, you've got to be within a range that's proper, because that's safe for your body, and that's safe for your heart.
Right.
So you don't want to be above that range or below that range. There's a little wiggle room, but you don't want to go outside that range too much, because you run a risk of osteoporosis and broken bones from that. So you've got to, you know, if you're going to take thyroid replacement, which you have to do if if you've had radiation to your thyroid, you want to be within a certain range with that. Ultimately, it's not simple, and I wish it were simple in something like that. So you're vegetarian, so you've done that part, and the other reality is it's just hard to limit the food we eat. It's all around us. It's cheap. It's inexpensive. It's easy to get a hold of. We have refrigerators. If we didn't have refrigerators, we'd probably all weigh less too. So good luck. Good luck.
Thank you very much. Appreciate your insights.
Yeah, we appreciate the call. Thank you so much. 800-462-7413, our number. And Zorba, a Texarkana, Arkansas, joins us. Hi.
Hi.
How can we help?
Well, I wish I had something funny to say so that I could make Zorba laugh, because I think that's really the best medicine. But
well, thank you. Thank you so much.
It's
hard to laugh. It's hard to laugh when there's nothing funny. I laugh because...
You laugh all the time. I hate it. Stop laughing.
That's very funny. Yeah, you did it. You caused me to laugh. How can we help you?
Well, I don't have a really serious problem, but, you know, it's serious to you when it's happening, right?
Sure.
So I have a little discussion and then a little question at the end for you. It's regarding leg cramps,
mm-hmm.
particularly at night. And it's the shin muscle. And what I have found is I started playing tennis again after a long time.
Mm-hmm.
And so I would go out and there would be a pretty strenuous workout, okay? If I had not been exercising, say, 2 weeks, 3 weeks before that, then that night, I would know I was going to have the leg cramps, severe
uh-huh.
leg cramps.
So certain exercises brought on leg cramps. You've noticed that.
Exactly.
Okay.
Exactly.
Uh-huh.
And because then if I played tennis several times that week, and the next week, wouldn't have them at all. At
oh, okay.
Okay. It was just mm-hmm. that one night.
Let me try to get this straight. I'm trying to just get a handle on
okay.
it. Some exercises would bring it on, and some exercises would not bring it on?
It appeared to be only when I had not exercised, done this particular exercise, playing tennis, for, say, 2 or 3 weeks.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And then I would come back and I would start playing again.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? That first day, that first night, I would know I was going to have severe
oh.
leg cramps.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
So this has been going on since I started back playing tennis.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
How's your game?
It should be better.
That brought a laugh.
I'm not back to my 30s. Okay?
You're not back to your 30s. So,
yeah.
Uh-huh. Well, I've got some suggestions for you. First of all,
okay.
leg cramps are common. They're a very common thing for people. Obviously, at night, that's when people are bothered. Stretching exercises, especially Achilles stretch exercises, and we'll put a link to that on ZorbaPastor.org on the website so you can look at those. It can make a difference. We used to give quinine. That was the name of the drug, which was quinine, until double-blind placebo-controlled trials showed it didn't do anything. So the Fed said, you got to get rid of the drug, and they stopped manufacturing the drug. You can get it in Canada. Can't get it into the U.S. There may be some, quinine and quinine water, but for the most part, it doesn't have the quinine that used to be in the tablet. Potassium, magnesium, calcium, all may affect leg cramps too. So there's not one answer. There's not one answer to leg cramps. The main thing is to find out what works for you. Leg cramps really can be bothersome with potassium if you're dehydrated, if you're in the summer, it's the summertime and you're doing a lot of exercise and you're sweating. But it sounds to me like you found at least a partial answer to that, and that's really good.
Well, And so you're just saying it works for some, and I just happened to found the one that
exactly
works for me.
Exactly. There's not one thing that works for leg cramps because they're caused by different things. But between all of these things, often people will be able to get some relief. And if they don't, then I go to prescription drugs, which are basically the Parkinsonian drugs that help with leg cramps. And but then it's taking a drug and affecting you, and that's really for people with RLS, restless leg syndrome. So
right.
Good luck. Keep up the good work and improve your game.
Ah, very good. I'll try to do that. That's what I'm out there trying to do.
There you go. Thanks so much for your tip. Really, really appreciate it. And leg cramps can really destroy quality of life. So thank you for pointing that out.
We appreciate the call. Thanks so much. 800-462-7413. And this sounds interesting to me, Zorba. Sleep deprivation may lead to false confessions.
That's kind of interesting, this particular study. So let's look at the study and let's look at it. First of all, sleep deprivation leads to a lot of things. You know, people do all-nighters and they work on projects and things, and then doesn't make any difference in what they're actually thinking about the next day. And they looked at a particular study. They took Michigan State University students, roughly 90 students. They looked at computer tasks, cognitive tasks, while they were looking through things throughout the course of a week. And then they were told not to hit the escape key on the computer keyboard, you know, the escape key that's way up to the left.
Yep.
And you don't hit that key unless you're actually trying to hit it, because it's way off to the side. And then they took some of the participants. They had them sleep for 8 hours in a bedroom that they had actually arranged. And the other ones, they kept up all night. And, you know, they had them do computer tasks, so on and so forth. And then they said, did you hit the escape key at all? I mean, they specifically asked that. So some of these tasks must have required things that, you know, you were stuck. You only hit the escape key when your computer is stuck. Mm-hmm. And lo and behold, they found that 50% of the sleep-deprived group signed a statement that they said, I hit the escape key, when in fact they'd never hit it at all. They had never hit it at all. Whereas you look at the ones who got 8 hours sleep, only 18% said, oh, yeah, I hit the escape key, and they had never hit it. So you always had this error in thought. But half the people who are sleep-deprived versus 20% who weren't sleep-deprived, so half made a false confession.
That's a little hard, though, to expand that into
trials. Let me go through this. It wasn't published in a junk journal. It was published in a very prestigious journal called the Proceedings of the National Academy of Sciences. Very hard to get anything published in that journal. It's got to go through lots and lots of hoops for that. But this is direct evidence in a very rigid, you know, rigid controlled study showing that people will often make a false confession about something like this when they never did it at all.
But I'm not going to say I did.
Oh, no.
I committed that murder.
No.
But
then calls into consideration police techniques where they keep people up all night. They keep on questioning them. They keep on talking to them, and they then make a confession to something they never did in the first place. And I think it has to say then, when is there a true confession and when is there a false confession? And there are issues that are brought up that have become society issues, because we know that people do make false confessions for a bunch of reasons, but we've never looked at sleep deprivation as one of the reasons they make this false confession, because they actually make it, and then the next day they say, I really didn't mean it, because they remember things too.
Yeah, that really is interesting.
Yeah, it's very interesting.
Yeah. 800-462-7413 is our number. And our next caller, Zorba, is a listener in Johnson Creek, Wisconsin. Hi.
Hello.
How can we help?
Well, I have a little problem that showed up about probably a month ago. I haven't had any problem. I'm up in years, and I've been a very busy person. I do all the yard work, snow blowing, everything.
Mm.
But in the last month, I woke up one morning, and my right hand was kind of in a fist, and my hand seemed to be locked.
Oh.
And I had to take my other hand to pull the fingers open.
Mm.
And it was quite a shock. So now my hand does hurt. My knuckles, and mainly the middle finger on my right hand.
Mm.
And it doesn't want to open, and when it does, there's a crack noise in it. I don't say it's in real pain, but it's very annoying, uncomfortable, and shouldn't be like that.
Now, can you tie this to anything? You say you'd have a lot of physical activity.
Well, I do most everything.
And you can't tie any specific thing to the injury?
No, not lately.
So it keeps on. It keeps on doing this. Makes a little snapping kind of a sound. You have to open it up periodically.
Like the knuckle is locked.
Yeah. Is it in the middle of the finger? Does it make a little crack when you do it? Does it make? It sounds like you might have trigger finger.
Trigger finger?
Mm-hmm. Trigger finger. That's a very, very common thing. Can be treated with a steroid injection into the hand, basically, through the finger towards the palm of the hand. And the steroid injection works a lot of the time. Sometimes one or two injections will work. If that doesn't work, there's actually a surgery, which is very successful, to get rid of the swelling that's in there because it can be very painful. And I know one doctor who had this, who happens to be me. I'm the one doctor that I know of who's had it. I've had an injection. I had it in my right hand and left hand, and it got rid of it, and if it happens again, then I'm going to have to need surgery to take care of it. But I'd go see your doc. I'd talk to your doctor on the phone and see whether or not they do injections, and if they don't, then I'd go to somewhere where they do injections. That's what it sounds like. So you do the snow blowing and all the yard work and get rid of the snow in the house. You do a lot of work, huh? How old are you? You said you're up in years. What's up in years?
I'm 88.
88?
Oh. Uh-huh.
That is definitely up in years.
Yeah.
That's up in years. What did you do for a living? Did you work outside of the house for a living, or did you work
Yes. I was kind of a nurse's aide in the last years. I've been taking care of my husband. He was an invalid. So it was a lot of moving and lifting for him. And he passed away last summer.
Oh, I'm sorry. Sorry to hear that.
You know, about five, six years ago, my right hand on the upper part of my thumb was very painful.
Okay.
And so I went to see this doctor, a specialist, and he did surgery. The cartilage was wore away from the bones. I couldn't even brush my teeth.
Oh, that's terrible. Well, you know, that doctor is probably one that you should see
that
does injections.
That's exactly what I figure I'm doing.
That's what you should do. You should go see that doctor. It might not be cartilage. It sounds like trigger finger, but that doctor obviously deals with hands all the time.
Yeah.
Sounds like a hand surgeon. I would go and see them.
I was just wondering what I should take for pain. I don't know how much longer. This may not go away by itself.
Well, I like Aleve. I think it's a good medication. The generic Aleve, naproxen, 220 milligrams. They're all the same over the counter. I do one twice a day. If that doesn't work in a few days, I double to two twice a day.
Of what?
Of Aleve, a naproxen.
Oh.
It's generic Aleve. That's what
often know. Well, my doctor told me I could take Tylenol. He told me not to take Aleve or one of those.
Oh, well, you might have some other issues then.
But he didn't have any suggestion what I do with my hand outside of using a ball and exercising my finger. And I don't see how that's going to help. It's not as if I'm sitting doing nothing with my hands.
Right. I think you ought to go take a visit to that hand doctor. That's what I would recommend. And if your doctor recommended Tylenol over Aleve, your doctor has more information about your lab tests. I would stick with the Tylenol. And if you don't drink more than two drinks a day, you can take up to 4,000 milligrams of Tylenol. I'd start with 2,000 milligrams a day. A 650 milligram extended release tablet three times daily is about 2,000 milligrams, and I would try that out and see what that does for your pain.
I was just wondering if it is arthritis, although I can still get down on my knees and scrub the floor and all that stuff. And I haven't had problems at all. I've been quite healthy all along.
It may be arthritis, like you said, but I'll tell you something. You clearly work on your house.
Yeah.
If you're down on your knees scrubbing the floor, that is working. That is hard work. You're keeping yourself moving.
I do everything I did for many, many years, but not as long.
Well, you're 88. It's okay to take a little slower at 88.
Thank you
so much for your call. Really appreciate it.
And don't go away, caller. This is serendipity. This is definitely not planned. But before we take a break, Zorba, it's time to let one of our listeners show us who's the boss. It's your favorite segment, Zorba, and we call it Disagreeing with the Doc.
Disagreeing with the Doc. Disagreeing with the Doc. Oh, oh, oh.
A listener named Lark from Montreal, Canada, wrote the following. Zorba, you are wrong. There is a cure for trigger finger.
Oh.
I had my right baby finger seriously triggering for over 10 years.
Wow.
I tried the injection, which worked for 2 weeks, but then back to trigger. I was afraid of the surgery, so lived with it. 2 years ago, I fractured my right wrist. After 7 weeks in plaster and almost 6 months of therapy, I had a fully functioning wrist and, ta-da, a perfectly normal little finger. I realize this is a somewhat extreme cure, not for the faint of heart, but I do wonder if a less drastic and safely administered trauma might do it.
That's right. So I'm going to recommend now that
break
anyone,
your wrist.
That's right. Break your wrist. Go break your wrist. Fall on the ice or slip on the pavement. Break your wrist and we'll cure your trigger finger. That's really pretty amazing. Pretty interesting stuff.
Are you not sure about something Zorba said? Or maybe you just can't put your finger on it? Just post it to our Facebook page or send it along in an email to
Zorba@WPR.org. And don't forget Facebook.
We have our recipe coming up. More of your calls, of course, and we'll be quack, quack, quacking up with Dr. Zorba here on Zorba Pastor on Your Health from PRI, Public Radio International. Tom Clark with Family Doc Zorba Pastor here on Zorba Pastor on Your Health. Back to the phone soon at 800-462-7413. But now, Zorba, chipotle and sweet potato chowder.
Yes, yes. Do you like spicy stuff?
I do.
You do like spicy stuff. Do you like the taste of chipotle? Do you know what those the taste
I don't even know
is?
What it tastes
okay,
like.
Well, we'll talk about it. It's sort of a, you know, it's Hispanic-Mexican taste. Do you like sweet potatoes at all?
Yeah, I kind of
do. Yeah,
so I didn't as a kid.
It's good. Yeah, I didn't. It was not a kid's taste. Yeah. This is a good recipe. You can make with chicken broth. If you're a vegetarian, you can make it with veggie broth. Let's go into it. It's a really good chowder. So start out with a teaspoon of extra virgin olive oil.
A little tea, extra virgin olive oil.
Half of a red pepper, bell pepper diced.
Half a red pepper diced.
Half of a green pepper diced.
Half of a green pepper diced.
Half of an orange pepper diced.
Half of an orange pepper diced.
Now, let's assume that the peppers are expensive. Use all green pepper. They're cheaper. This is just for color. They're not pretty enough. That's exactly it. So it depends on what you want, what you want to spend. A medium white onion diced.
Medium white onion diced?
Right. White onion diced, why not? You could use a red onion if you want to for a little color. Mm-hmm. Two large sweet potatoes. Peel them and cut them into 1-inch cubes.
Two large sweet potatoes peeled and cut into 1-inch cubes.
You know, sweet potatoes were very, very big in the Revolution. Our forefathers, during the Constitutional Convention, probably ate lots of sweet potatoes. Hmm. It was a big, very easy to grow dish that was commonly used in the colonies. I knew that you knew that, but I was just trying to tell the listeners.
I only knew it because you've said it before, but it is interesting.
Sweet potatoes are a big thing. We don't eat them enough. You know, we only, you know, for a lot of people, you only associate sweet potatoes with Thanksgiving, although now we have sweet potato fries. You know, they're all.
I've never had them.
You've never had sweet potato fries?
No.
Oh, you should try them. They're really good if you like sweet potatoes. But I don't know if they have them at the restaurants you go to. Well, but if you go to other restaurants,
you could bring in a recipe for them.
Sweet potato fries. I think we should do that. 4 cups of broth. It could be veggie broth or chicken broth. Your choice.
4 cups of chicken or veggie broth.
Okay. Now you get a can of chipotle chilies and adobo sauce, and you want 3 of those. Okay, chipotle chilies and adobo sauce. A little can that you can get in your grocery store. Pretty much almost any grocery store which has any Hispanic food
so
will have
that. That's 3 cans, right?
No, 3 chipotle chilies and adobo sauce.
Well, I get it. They come in
3
the can
chilies,
and you
they
use 3 of them.
That's
oh, okay.
Right. 3 cans, you'll get quite a lot of chilies. Yeah. Just 3 chilies. 2 cups of corn, frozen or fresh if available.
2 cups of corn, frozen or fresh.
Yeah, and I have frozen corn. I put up corn from Muriel's. I call it Muriel, though Muriel passed away about 5 or 6 years ago. And it's corn in the summer in Wisconsin. It is the best stuff. I had it the other night. It's so sweet. It is so delicious. So, you know, in the summer, you're smiling. You like sweet corn, right?
I like sweet corn. Yeah, who doesn't like sweet corn?
It's wonderful. Man. That's right. Who doesn't like sweet corn? How about lima beans?
Well, a lot of people don't like lima beans.
How about canned peas? Back to the recipe.
Moving right along.
A cup of fat-free half and half.
A cup of fat-free mm-hmm. half and half.
Yeah, half and half cream. That's right. Fat-free mm-hmm. half and half. You can buy it. It's a little bit more expensive, but it's really good. Mm-hmm. So heat the olive oil in a Dutch oven over medium-high heat. Add the peppers and onions. Saute 8 to 10 minutes until the onions are softened and translucent. Medium heat. You don't want them to burn. You don't want them to turn black. Then increase the heat to high. Add the corn, the broth, the chipotles, and potatoes. Bring it to a boil. Cover. Reduce the heat to low and simmer for 10 to 15 minutes until tender. Remove it from the heat and stir in that 1 cup of half and half, as I said, fat-free. Mm-hmm. Has about half the calories. If you don't want to use that, you could use regular half and half. To divide the soup into 4 bowls, serve. And if you want to, actually, it's a wonderful, wonderful chowder base. If you wanted to add some frozen salmon to this, you could, because it has a wonderful, wonderful
good
base.
Idea,
and
yeah.
it's a delicious dish. So 230 calories. If you add the salmon, you're going to have some nice protein mm-hmm. to it. And if you want a copy of it.
Well, I knew you were going to tell us what to
you
do.
You can go to your phone, your smartphone. Your dumb phone won't have it. Your smartphone, your local computer will have it. Go to zorbapastor.org. Pull down that recipe. To be other fun stuff that on that website also, zorbapastor.org. And, of course, you can find us through the ubiquitous Facebook.
800-462-7413 is the number if you have a question for Zorba. 800-462-7413. And now, Zorba, a listener joins us in Lindenhurst, Illinois. Hi.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure. How can we help?
Oh, my problem started like November. I had a smell of a fish sauce on my urine when I urinate, mm-hmm. especially at the very end of it. Mm-hmm. So I called my primary care doctor, and I went to him, and he said, oh, you have a UTI.
Okay, okay. So you had a urinary tract infection.
Yeah.
Okay.
I said to him, I don't have fever, I don't have itchiness or mm-hmm. anything or frequency of urination. Mm-hmm. And so he said, well, I'll give you Cipro. Mm-hmm. And then so I started the Cipro. Mm-hmm. And then later on he called me and said, oh, that Cipro doesn't really work on this bug you have mm-hmm. in the urine.
Okay.
So I have to give you Furadontin.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Uh-huh. Okay. Different antibiotic.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So I finished this for 1 week and then another week, and the third week started to have the smell again.
Oh.
So I said to my friend, oh, take some vinegar, drink some vinegar, mm-hmm. put a little honey in mm-hmm. it, and then drink it twice a day. Uh-huh. You will not have the problem.
Okay.
I said, I think I'm full of vinegar in my system. I can take a shower with vinegar. And said, so then another friend said, oh, I know what is the cure. What is it? Kefir. Take some kefir.
Oh, kefir. Kefir. Take
kefir.
Some kefir.
Uh-huh. Kefir. Kefir. Whatever
yeah,
it
kefir,
is.
Right. Yeah. Yogurt-based product.
So I
yeah.
said, she didn't tell me what kind of flavor, so mm-hmm. I took the one that I like, strawberry or whatever.
Sure.
And my husband said, well, strawberry, it will elevate the smell of your urine. And I said, so what is it then? You should take the plain one. Well, I didn't know. She just said, go and get this. So I went, and there's no cure. So they said, drink a lot of water.
Drink a lot of water. Okay.
Yeah. Well, okay. I'm already.
You're getting a lot of advice there. That's what you're getting.
Oh, yeah, so many. I have a 92-year-old. I have a 24-year-old. And doctors, you know, I said, oh, my God. And you know that? I said, well, you do. No, I don't do that anymore. I'm 80 years old.
You're 80 years old?
Yes.
You don't sound 80 at all.
Oh, no. I am. You know, that at 8 years old, listen, I went to visit my sister in California, and the guy was asking me an ID, so I put my ID to him. I said, this is a fake ID. And I said, oh, my God. I was so trembling. He said, no, sir, that's really fake ID.
What a compliment. What a compliment. You know, who would fake an ID saying that they're older than they are unless they're 18?
So I said, this is a fake ID. He said, no, that is mine. And I was so scared, you know.
Well, I do want to tell you something about what I think is going on.
Mm-hmm.
First of all, if you don't have symptoms and you're 80 years old,
mm-hmm.
and you have a urine that's abnormal, you don't necessarily need any treatment at all.
Mm.
That is a common thing. It's very common for older women to have some colonization of their urinary tract that does not cause any problems. And the antibiotic is often, it doesn't get rid of the colonization within the urinary tract. And so looking back at the treatment, and I don't know what the fever of 102, 103 were, because if they were from your urine or your bladder, that could be something else. You might have had the fever. I don't know what that is. Putting that to the side for a second. But you may always have an abnormal urine, and you shouldn't be checked unless you have symptoms. So a good example is in our office. If people call up and they say we have symptoms and they're older, then we check their urine, but we don't check their urine otherwise. So that is a distinct possibility. So if that's the case, it may be that you don't, as I said, you don't need to an antibiotic. Kefir, because it has yogurt, people like that for lactobacillus. Cranberry juice, of course, as an older remedy. Acidification of the urine with vitamin C for some people works, 500 to 1,000 milligrams once or twice a day. And staying away from doctors is probably the best thing that you can do.
But they have to leave. They need my money.
Thank you so much for your call.
Thank you, doctor.
800-462-7413. 800-462-7413 is our number. And now, Zorba, let's see if we can help a caller in Edmond, Oklahoma. Hi.
Hi, this is Carrie in Oklahoma, and it's so nice to be on your show.
Yeah, thanks for calling. How can we help?
Well, I have what I think is a very rare allergy. I'm allergic to black pepper, and it gets worse because nowadays everybody in restaurants really puts black pepper in all of their food.
Yeah, pepper is pretty common. You like pepper, Tom, don't you?
Oh, yeah.
You put pepper in everything like that. So you're allergic. What kind of response do you get to pepper?
Well, if I have a reaction, I start sneezing really hard and coughing, and I have a hard time catching my breath.
Oh, wow.
And just drink water, and that helps, and I always carry Benadryl with me.
Oh, that's terrible.
But I always know if I'm going to have a reaction.
What kind of food do you like, by the way? If you like Cajun food, that would be awful. Do you like hot food?
No, I do not. I have something of a reaction to hot spices also.
Okay. So, in other words, so you like 1955 comfort food. It's not too spicy. 1955. Comfort food. You know, capsaicin is a common ingredient in many, many hot and spicy things, and that I don't know if capsaicin is exactly what's in black pepper. I haven't looked up what's in black pepper, you know, in and of itself. But you probably are having an allergic reaction to that. And it's a problem when you go out there. You're right. There are only certain restaurants. Have you thought about using a non-sedating antihistamine before you go out to eat, such as Allegra, a Claritin, anything of that nature, you know, something that's not going to put you to sleep?
Well, I take something every morning. I have really bad allergies.
What do you take? What do you take in the morning? Do you remember the name of it?
It's Zyrtec.
Zyrtec. Okay, so Zyrtec is good. It's very good. Does that help you at all with your, you know, when you go out to eat? I mean, I can see it's a restaurant problem.
Yeah, pretty much. Mm-hmm. I take it at night before I go to bed, mm-hmm. and then I take another, let's say, Claritin in the morning, actually.
Oh, okay. So you have significant allergies if you're taking Zyrtec,
yes.
and you're taking Claritin. I think, actually, the best advice I could give you is choosing your restaurant. you know, going out with your friends. I mean, that's about all that's left, because you've got this weird, you know, this weird reaction. What kind of food do you like?
I actually am very adventurous when it comes to food. I like a lot of different things. Mm-hmm. Here in Oklahoma, though, there is a lot of Spanish, Mexican.
Yes.
You know.
Yeah.
And it's very difficult sometimes to avoid chilies. And,
oh yeah, I've been to Oklahoma City, and you guys have some of the best barbecue I've ever tasted. And I remember being in a hotel. I was speaking at the University of Oklahoma, and I went to the guy at the hotel, and I said, "Where's the barbecue?" He said, "Go outside and smell the air and follow your nose." I could smell about two blocks away. There was a little barbecue shack. And I don't remember what the name of it was. I cannot remember at all. It was around the downtown area. I just don't remember at all. And I had some of the best ribs and brisket I have ever tasted. I ate so much that I almost had an upset stomach, and I went back the next day for more. And my clothes smelled of barbecue after I walked out of the restaurant. That's what I remember.
Oh, yeah. We have a couple here in Edmond, too.
It coats the clothing, but boy, is it good. And you know what? It's not heart healthy.
No, not a bit.
Well, thanks so much for your call.
Well, thank you for your help.
You're welcome.
800-462-7413, our toll-free number. That's 800-462-7413. And before the break, Zorba, let's take another dive into the murky waters of medical quackery. It's time again for Quacking Up with Dr. Zorba.
Quack it up with Dr. Zorba.
Okay, Zorba, usually we have to go way back in time for this segment, but today we're going to talk about something that is happening right now in our favorite drug stores?
Yeah, favorite drug stores in GNC and other places where they sell supplements. And the quackery happens to be that lots of the supplements don't have what they say is in them. And the New York Department, the Attorney General, is actually suing a number of places, Walmart, Walgreens, Target, and GNC, because they looked at supplements and found that 4 out of 5 products, often, they were looking at very specific supplements, did not contain the herbs on their labels. They contain cheap fillers like rice, houseplants, other substances. Some might even be hazardous materials for people with allergies. And the quackery is the fact that they can actually put the label on a supplement and it doesn't have the supplement in it. That's where the quackery is.
Yeah,
and it's a quackery that's going on right now and maybe going on in your house if you have a supplement.
Yeah, we've talked about this before. You were way ahead of the curve, I think, on this one, Zorba. But is this new that there's actually a lawsuit going on?
Yeah, the lawsuit actually started about a year ago, and it's continuing to go on. And then the companies are saying, well, you didn't analyze this the right way. If you analyze this the right way, you'll find it. Uh-huh. Well, how are you going to analyze it the right way? They're using standard good clinical practice techniques to analyze it. The answer is the supplements often don't have what's in it, which is why I always say if you're going to buy a supplement, either go to Consumer Reports, pay the money, or go to your library to look at Consumer Reports or consumerlab.org, which I also think is a great organization because they test the supplements to see if the stuff is in them. Because a lot of the stuff is quackery. It's not what you're actually getting.
But I thought when we have talked about this before that that was okay, that there was no regulation of these things.
Well, there's no regulation, but that's not okay. If you buy
stuff,
it's not
okay, but how can you sue somebody if they're doing something that
Because the Attorney General in New York said, this says it should have ginkgo in there, and you are lying. It doesn't have ginkgo in it. It may not be regulated by the Fed, but we in New York State have consumer laws that say if you're going to have butter, it's got to have butter in the package, right?
Yeah.
And this is the same thing. So the quackery, we are now getting the results of the quackery if we're getting supplements, and the feds have never stepped in to stomp this out.
Interesting stuff. Do you have an example of medical quackery to contribute to this segment? Just send us an email at
Zorba@WPR.org.
Some interesting research, important research to talk about. That's coming up. More of your calls, of course, right here on Zorba Pastor on Your Health from PRI, Public Radio International. Tom Clark with Family Doc Zorba Pastor here on Zorba Pastor on Your Health. 800-462-7413 if you have a question for Zorba. But before our next call, Zorba, this is really interesting. Injury, deaths, and life expectancy.
Right. So I don't know if you paid attention to this, but it always comes up that America does not have the life expectancy that you see in European, you know, industrialized countries in Western Europe.
Yep.
Yeah. And it's a common thing. So this was an analysis of that to say, where is this life expectancy difference? What are we looking at? They looked at the data from 2012, and they found that a lot of this focused on accidents, three very specific accidents, motor vehicle accidents, firearm-related accidents, and drug poisoning. So that includes overdoses of things from heroin, hydrocodone, oxycodone. And they're responsible for 100,000 deaths a year. It's a huge number of
deaths. In the U.S.
In the U.S. You know, we talk about blood pressure. We worry about cholesterol. We talk about vaccination. But we don't spend enough time looking at deaths that often occur at younger ages.
Mm-hmm.
You know, younger ages that are there. And Americans lose roughly 2 to 3 years of life expectancy versus people in Austria, Denmark, Finland, Germany, Italy, Japan, the Netherlands, Norway, Portugal, Spain, Sweden, and the U.K.
Because of these three things. Why do they have fewer accidents than we do?
Well, let's look at it. First of all, let's look at motor vehicle accidents. In those countries, there are tremendous laws against driving drunk. Some motor vehicle accidents, half are all caused by drunk driving. Very simple. If you're in places like Norway and you have drunk driving, there is a huge penalty. I don't know what it is now, but they used to take your car away, put you in jail. And we are wusses when it comes to motor vehicle accidents. Firearm injuries. Let's look at those countries. Mm-hmm. They don't have as many firearms. Now, you may be for having firearms, concealed carry. There's, you know, in our society, you're for and against. But we're talking about firearm injuries. So we're talking not just necessarily about murders. We're talking about accidents.
However you feel about firearms, there are accidents.
There are accidents. So, right, no matter which way you do it.
Yeah.
And you could cut down on them by proper things, because some of them are accidents. They're not actually conscious ways of doing that. And then drug poisonings, they don't have the same level of drug poisonings that we have from oxycodone, hydrocodone, and heroin. So when we look from a public health point of view, we're doing a poor job from an accident point of view. And then when we look at other accidents, I've had three patients in my practice, older guys who have died from cleaning gutters. They go up and they clean gutters. They think they're 25 and they're 85 on their ladder cleaning gutters, and they don't get the ladders properly positioned. So this study shows we've got to pay more attention to injuries. Motor vehicle injuries, firearm injuries, drug poisoning, and all other injuries. It's time for a new public health look at this.
800-462-7413 if you have a question for Zorba, as does this listener in Wakefield, Michigan. Hi.
Hello.
How can we help?
Well, I built a home dialysis machine for thallium poisoning from a neighbor's meth lab.
So, no, wait a second. I want to get this right. You built a dialysis machine at home for your kidneys?
Well, it does everything in your body. The poison does everything to your body, and so does this. It uses a poison called Prussian blue, hydrocyanic acid. But I don't use needles. I inject it by infusion through my skin electronically with microelectricity.
Uh-huh. So you're putting this stuff into your skin because
And the substance goes through the skin into the veins.
Uh-huh. So you're not actually putting a needle into your veins?
No needles.
No needles, okay. You're putting it on top with a little electricity. Is that what you're doing?
Microelectronics controlled and varied.
Uh-huh. How do you know it's actually going into your skin? I mean, skin is not porous.
I have a 10 university education, graduate school biomedical engineering with electrical engineering.
Yeah.
And military top secret electronics.
Oh, uh-huh. But how do you know it's actually going through your skin?
Well, in 3 seconds, it's going through my entire body, and you feel it like a heroin shot.
Uh-huh. So tell me a little bit about this meth lab. There's a meth lab. Where's the meth lab?
Well, it's detuned now. They pinched some of the dealers. Uh-huh. They're young punks.
Mm-hmm.
They're also threatening my life. They're crazy.
Oh, uh-huh.
And I moved to a different house, my parents' house, when they died. So I'm away from it.
Well, I would be careful about anything that you put into your body. That I think is a very important issue, and good luck to you.
Yeah, my doctors approve of this.
Okay. Well, thank you very much for your call.
Yeah, at 800-462-7413. Okay, Zorba, let's take a quick email question now from Paul in Northfield, New Jersey. Dear Zorba and Tom, love the show and enjoy the banter between you two.
Very nice.
Question, should adults be getting boosters to vaccinations we received as children? I am in my 50s, and I hear they wear out over time.
Well, the answer is yes. Pertussis wears out over time, which is now we give DTaP, it's called, which is an acellular pertussis, which is the right, and that's the only pertussis vaccine in this country. And there's lots of pertussis. There's a boom in pertussis. At one point, a couple of years ago, Wisconsin was number one in pertussis. Pertussis is whooping cough. The Chinese call it the 100-day cough. Mm-hmm. It's common. It's not uncommon. Getting vaccinated is important. We have pertussis outbreaks because there are a number of people who don't believe in vaccines. Vaccinations. Mm-hmm. And from my point of view, I think some of those people believe in science fiction. I used to be on the fence about this, but I now believe vaccinations are really important, and certainly getting boosted for pertussis is an important thing.
How often?
Well, first of all, it changes. It depends on the vaccine that's there, so it depends on what it is. For DTaP, I think it's once every 10 years. We do a 10-year booster for tetanus, so we put pertussis in the tetanus now, so you would be boosted roughly once every 10 years. Mm.
No, I can't remember whether my doc ever did a booster
shot. I don't remember either. You could tell by looking it up in your medical record. You've got Epic, our homegrown electronic medical record, and you could go by looking at Epic, looking it up, and see whether or not you had your booster.
Can I count on my doc to look this up?
You could actually call up on the telephone and speak to a human being to do it, too. Exactly.
I have a question for Zorba. He's always happy to help. Just shoot us an email at
Zorba@WPR.org.
800-462-7413 is our number. And Zorba, a listener, joins in now from Belgrade, Montana. Hi.
Yes, hi.
How can we help?
Well, I have a wood stove in my house, and I've got an iron pot humidifier on top of it, and the water gets very rusty inside there. Is that a health hazard or a health benefit?
Well, I don't think it's a health benefit to have rusty water come through the air. I think we could definitely say there's no health benefit to rust in the air. Yeah. Is it a health hazard? Well, that's kind of a good question. You've got a cast iron pot on there. Is that what you have?
It's a little shaped like a kettle they sell to put on wood stoves.
Yeah, I've seen them. I've seen them on wood stoves.
Yeah.
I don't think there's a health hazard. I think I can't imagine, because the water is simply evaporating, and when what's left is rust, on the bottom of when you're done. But the rust isn't evaporating. I'm not familiar with the fact that it would go into the air. And frankly, these things have been around for years. And
right.
I think if there was a hazard, we would know about it. Do you heat only by wood, or do you have a backup of LP or something else?
Yeah, I have a hybrid system. I only use the wood stove when we're home to reduce the heating bills.
Uh-huh. So do you chop your own wood?
Well, I buy like a quart of it already, or a quarter cord already chopped.
Okay, so you buy it already chopped. I just wanted to know if you're getting exercise from that, because I always look at that as a positive thing. I don't think there's a health hazard. The real issue is wood heat is very drying, just dries the air, and so you've really got to maintain good health, you really want to humidify the air. It does make a difference, so, yeah.
Well, I have a regular humidifier in the bedroom.
Mm-hmm. Good.
But wood stove is in the living room, so mm-hmm. I thought that would humidify the living room.
It will.
If ions are in the air, and if that's good or bad.
I don't think there are any ions in the air, and I don't think there's a health hazard. But I don't think there's a health benefit.
Okay, so just neutral, just water in the air.
That's all there is. That's all there is.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Great. I don't have to be concerned.
You don't have to be concerned. I'm
right.
Glad we could take away any concern you have.
Great.
Thank you.
Thanks so much
for the call. We appreciate it. Okay, Zorba, we recently ran through a laundry list of hiccup cures that our lovely listeners sent in. But we wanted to add one more to that helpful list. This one came to us from a listener, Carla, in Onalaska, Wisconsin. She writes, Tom and Zorba, I love the show, and here's my cure for hiccups. Tell the person, if you can hiccup one more time, I'll give you $100. It works. It works every time.
That's funny. You can hiccup one
so
more time. I'll give you $100.
Focus on hiccuping. You can't
right.
hiccup.
You can't do it. That is funny. That's a great cure. I'll have to try that. But what if they do hiccup? What's the problem? Then you got to give them $100.
Got to give them $100. But she's never had to do it.
I'd say cross my fingers. You didn't see my fingers crossed behind my back.
Okay, and before we head out today, we don't mind taking our lumps from the grammar police or debating the issues during our Disagreeing with a Doc segment, but now and then, it's just nice to hear that we're doing a good job. So the following email came to us from Steve in Laurel, Montana. Hi, Zorba and Tom. I listened to you on Yellowstone Public Radio from Billings, Montana. I just wanted to say how much I enjoy your program. Thank you for your invaluable information, and the interplay between you and Tom is just super. Please, guys, keep up the good work.
Wonderful. Thank you so much. Thank you, thank you, thank you.
Yeah, that kind of goes opposite of most people who say,
I hate that wasting time on a serious doctor show.
Has Dr. Zorba helped you? Share your story with us. Just send us an email at
Zorba@WPR.org or post it on Facebook.
See you next week, Zorba.
Stay well, Tom.
If you missed anything during the show or just want to download our show podcast, visit us on the web
at ZorbaPastor.org or through Facebook.
That too. And you can call us at 800-462-7413. Zorba Pastor on Your Health is a production of Wisconsin Public Radio. It's not intended as a medical diagnosis, so please do check with your doc. Our executive producer is Carl Christensen, and our technical director is Brad Colburn. Our theme music is by Leo and Ben Sidran. For Zorba Pastor, I'm Tom Clark, expecting your company on the next Zorba Pastor on Your Health.
Copies of today's show are available through the radio store at 800-747-7444. Ask for program number 0312Z. More information on Zorba, his clinic, and healthy living, including heart-healthy recipes, podcasts, and show archives, is available online at ZorbaPastor.org.
PRI, Public Radio International.